From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vegas. She's at Stewart Peterson right here in Champaign County. And then we'll take a look at what's happening in the world of agricultural news. Dave Dickey will be along. He'll tell us all about how the UN FAO says about a third of the food produced annually around the planet is wasted, and that the chairman of the Ag Committee in Washington, D.C. for the United States House of Representatives is maneuvering to stay in place right through the next Congress. Hey, and don't forget, as we close out our half hour together, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that it all happens on a Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. And it comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. Nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $6.35 on its settlement price, up a penny and a quarter. December at $6.48, up one and a half. And the March contract at $6.59, up a penny and a quarter. Next year's July at $6.61.5, up 1.5 cents. The hard red in Kansas City finished the July of next year down 4.5 cents at $6.93.25. Back in the corn pit from Chicago, September futures $4.79.75. Quarters up a nickel, December at 472.5, 3.5 higher, and the March at 484.75, up 3 cents. May futures $4.93, up 3, and July at 499.5, up 2.75. September corn of next year at 502.75, up 2.25, and the December of 2014 at $5.08.25, up 2.25. September soybeans $14.25, up 1.5 cents. November at $13.58, up 3.25, and January at $13.58, 2.75 cents higher. March soybeans $13.40.5, up 2.5, and the May futures at $13.13, up 3.5 cents. Next year's November at $12.25, up 4.5 cents. Bean meal futures finished at $4.60.90. That's down $1.60. And bean oil at $42.65, 8 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the October at $1.25 and a nickel, up 2.5 cents. December were down 7.5 at $128.57.5. September feeders at $156.37.5, down 2.5. And the October up 45 at $158.22.5. And lean hogs on the day at $90.30 in the October, down 55 cents. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $107.62 a barrel. That's 20 cents higher. RBOB gasoline at $2.71.7, a penny and 0.8 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $1.86.5, down 3 cents. And the difference between the two at 85 and 2 tenths of a cent is a penny and 1/10 wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas trading 3.56 and 1/10, 2 and 3 tenths lower. And the diesel fuel at $3.07 and 6 cents. That's 9 tenths of a cent higher. Gold futures trading $1,363.50 an ounce, down 20 cents. The U.S. dollar down 0.29 at 81.52 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies. It'll be hot. A high of 95 degrees today. West-southwest winds at 10 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 63 miles an hour this afternoon. And then tonight, a 50% chance of showers. A few thunderstorms. Those will come after 7 in the evening. Mostly cloudy otherwise. A low of 67 with a west-southwest wind at 5 to 7. And then on Thursday, a 20% chance of showers and rainfall before 1 in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy, otherwise gradually becoming sunny with a high near 84. Northwest winds at 5 to 9. Thursday night clear. Get this, we'll drop all the way to 54 degrees. North-northeast winds by the time we get to Thursday evening at 10 miles an hour. And Friday, sunny skies, just a high of 69 degrees on that northeast wind at 9 to 13. Friday night, mostly clear for football with a low of 46 degrees. Saturday, sunny skies and 71. Saturday night, mostly clear and 52. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies and 76. Sunday evening, partly cloudy and 56. Monday, mostly sunny skies and 75. And Monday night, 56 degrees and partly cloudy. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
On this Wednesday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson joins us from right here in Champaign County to take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central Time, USDA, NASS, and the World Agricultural Outlook Board will release two reports, the crop production numbers and the latest edition of the WASD figures. Are your expectations high for either of those reports?
Well, can I say I'm just going to be really happy when it comes out? Are my expectations high? I don't know what you would consider to be high. I think that this is probably going to be one of the toughest reports we've faced in a long time, just because, you know, we're looking at tremendously hot, tremendously dry weather. We've been watching the crop just kind of wither away. We're hearing all kinds of things out of the country. And the reality is that the FSA numbers still are the driver for everything. You know, if you look at the guesses, Todd, between all the different services, there's really only a couple tenths of a difference between where they're looking. You know, they're looking for a yield on corn of like 153.7 to 153.9, on beans 41.1 to 41.3, 13.6, 13.7 for a crop size, 13.1 pretty consistently on beans. And all of them are expecting to see lower harvested acres. The reality is we could actually see the USDA come in and come out with these lower yield numbers and not change the crop size at all if the FSA numbers that they're receiving, and we won't see until the 17th, are actually showing that we planted more than 97.4 million acres. So, you know, this is the kind of a report that just turns your stomach over about 10 or 15 times. You really need to be prepared for either side. Because if they come in and they do significantly drop the corn crop, I think we'll be looking at the $5 level or even the 508 level really fast. If we come in and we see them increase the crop size and not significantly change the carryout, we could be down there looking below that 446.5. And so on beans, it's a little bit different story. I think on the beans, everybody probably feels the same way from the standpoint that we know that they hit a huge amount of double crop beans built in, and we also know that a lot of guys didn't get wheat off in time to be able to get double crop beans in. Some did, some didn't, and so it's likely that we could actually see a reduction on the bean side, but nobody knows that for certain.
You know, you and Mike Zuzulo and Brian Stark all received an email from me this morning about Commodity Week, and the guest will be Joe Persaki. I haven't had Joe on Commodity Week in quite some time, but oftentimes what he's able and capable to say after the fact or even before USDA report, certainly before USDA report, isn't much. This time around, I was thinking, Jackie, that the FSA numbers that they've been seeing probably have been coming in bigger maybe than expected, and you and I probably saw some of that as we went through Iowa and looked at those prevent plant numbers out there, or the acreage at least, and that he might have some explaining to do if they didn't put it in, or some explaining to do if they did put it in. So we booked him for Commodity Week. I'm kind of looking forward to that show. I hope you are too.
Oh, I'm always looking forward to being able to be on a show with Joe Persaki, because I love to ask questions of the USDA. It's just, that's like one of my favorite things to do. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The big thing is, you know, there's not a thing in hard writing that said that they actually have to adjust harvested acres on this report at all. They may or they may not.
Right.
You know, they don't have to. But they can still give us hints, Todd. I mean, they can still give us ideas on, and the way that they can give us ideas is by adjusting yields and then production. You know, and because if your yield adjustment and the production movement that goes on are not, do not coincide, then you have to, you know, begin to believe that they have changed the harvested acres.
Yeah, you have to back into the harvested number and expect that that's going to change the next time around. So that
right.
would be in the October report, which should be where they normally would make those adjustments.
That's exactly correct.
All right. Anything that a producer really ought to be considering before we get into this report tomorrow morning? Any last-minute things that they need to do? I suspect you've probably got your guys all set.
Well, we do. We've been very active. You know, in talking with people, in looking to try and get set on both sides, you know, we're concerned. We have, well, until the close today, you know, we had close to a dollar on crop insurance gains in place. And so we did some protecting against the potential for the market to go up significantly, and we're going to hold puts into the report in case we get hit the other way. In other words, you know, we're protected on both sides, and I think that's really important. I think it's important that whoever doesn't have 15% of their crop covered probably should have some type of coverage in place, although, you know, the risk to the downside at this point in time looks like the 420 area probably at the worst, the way we stand right now. But, you know, when you look at the bean-corn ratio, Todd, we're at 2.87 is where we closed the day today. You know, could we hit 3.3 this year? I think it could happen when you look at the fundamental picture for both corn and beans. And we hit 3.0 in August of 09. So if we were at 3.3, here's an example. You could see beans at 1485 with corn only at 450. That's really not a really exciting picture for corn in that respect. And so I just think it's really important to be prepared. And the variability of this crop is unbelievable. Talk to a Minnesota guy. He's got a dairyman right there. He's got three silage sites within 12 miles of each other. They're all in that 12-mile stretch. They've already got one chopped off that was too dry. They're halfway done with another but had to stop now because it's wet. And the third one isn't even anywhere close to being ready. So I talked to a local guy today, too. This I thought was really interesting. 103 to 105-day corn planted April 1st to the 5th, harvested last week at 20 to 24%. Light soil 107-day corn planted May 1st, harvested this week at 20%. Both of them were sprayed with headline. And so, you know, when you hear that type of action going on out there, and the variability in this crop is going to be amazing. I don't even know how USDA expects they're going to get a handle on it for, you know, this report much, you know, let alone the October report.
Well, they probably won't, according to the trade.
Well, I would agree. And I'm a part of the trade, so I'm in that very same camp. There's no question about it.
I'm sorry. I just couldn't help myself. Oh, hey, let's go through just the cash side. Producers probably maybe looking at some quick ships this week. Certainly they will be next week, probably even maybe the week after that. I'm wondering what you think they should be doing with their with the corn in particular. Deal with quick ships, home storage, and then with what you need to take to town and whether you store it and pay for it there.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things we have to be looking at is basis, of course. And, you know, the basis hasn't been too bad. So I've got a lot of guys that we've just locked some basis in, and we're going to take a chance. If we get a bounce on this report, you know, we're going to sell some corn, okay? And we're going to probably sell corn right off the combine rather than taking it in and storing it. And then we'll look for some reownership. If you're going to take it in and you're going to store it, well, there might be some free storage available. There will be for some, I would think. But if it's not free storage, I cannot stress enough how important it is to stay on top of that basis in the cash market. I looked at from the first of the year, Todd, what the changes have been. On corn, we've lost 33% in cash and 37% in futures. And beans, 11% in cash, 17% in futures. And all that says to me is that you can't just pick a futures price and say, I want to sell at that futures price. You've got to look every day to see what the cash is doing and what basis is actually doing. But I think that this particular year, if you got home storage, you know, I'm not against storing it, especially as we're getting here into harvest time. I think that there's an awful lot of silver in the country. I don't think we have as big a need for cash right at this point in time, and so I think basis may actually improve. But you know, that's a chance you can't take. You've got to make up your mind as to what your break evens are.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye bye.
We'll talk with you at Commodity Week. That, of course, is Jackie Vick. She's from Stuart Peterson, from right here in Champaign County.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Oh, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's Agricultural News.
In agricultural news, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says that one-third of the food produced worldwide is wasted, costing the global economy around $750 billion a year. The Rome-based FAO says some 1.3 billion metric tons of food are wasted every year, with the Asia region, including China, seen as the worst culprit. High-income countries waste food during the food consumption phase, while developing countries are losing food during production. Other key areas identified in the report in terms of waste and environmental impact were the meat industry in North America and Latin America, as well as fruit wasted in Asia, Europe, and Latin America. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas says that he will run for re-election in 2014, and that if the Farm Bill does not pass during this Congress, he will ask the House Republican Steering Committee for a waiver from rules so that he can continue as Agriculture Committee Chairman in the next Congress. Lucas says that he considers the talk in Washington about a two-year extension of the Farm Bill to be an attempt to slow down consideration of the Farm Bill so that it would be written under different leadership. The House of Representatives could hold a floor debate as early as next week on a bill that would cut nutrition programs by as much as $40 billion over 10 years. The cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program are 10 times the level passed in the Senate version of the Farm Bill earlier this year. The Senate has been prepared to move to conference on the Farm Bill, but House members have indicated there is no likelihood of House leaders appointing conferees for the Farm Bill until at least after October the 1st. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack yesterday announced a new round of conservation innovation grants totaling $13.3 million. Among the grants, Vilsack highlighted a $482,000 award to the Conservation Technology Information Center to examine and expand on the benefits cover crops can provide farmers. McDonald's Corporation's global same-store sales rose 1.9% in August as the world's largest fast food chain reported stronger-than-expected results in Europe. In Europe, same-store sales, or those at restaurants open at least 13 months, were up 3.3%. In the U.S., same-store sales rose 0.2%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, along with next week, September 17th. That's a Tuesday event at the Belleville, Illinois Farm Bureau Building, along with Jackie Fakes and Mike Zuzolo. And Matt Bennett, be there at 7 o'clock. We'll be at the Farm Bureau Building in Belleville next Tuesday. And don't forget that Dave will be out next week, too, on the 19th. He'll be in Mazan, Illinois. I haven't looked to see who's on his panel just yet, but should be a great one. You can find all those details up on our website. The address is willag.org. Just look over in the Ag Outlook Panels section on the right-hand side of the page. Now, up next, something completely different. We'll talk about soybeans that you just eat out of the pod. We call it edamame. Here's researcher and specialist from the United States Department of Agriculture, Agriculture Research Service, based on this campus, Marty Williams.
One of the things I've learned is that folks that have not liked edamame, a good number of them I found out have been trying to eat the pod. And the pod, while it is not going to hurt you, the good part here is the seeds on the inside. So this is what a person eats and not the pod itself. And it's real easy. Once this thing has been steamed, it's real easy just to put it up to your mouth and pop the seeds in. And then the pod you can put in your compost pile.
You have a recipe, relatively speaking?
Well, the simplest way is, yeah, just boil them or steam them, you know, boil them for a couple minutes, drain off the hot water, pour some cold water over there, drain that off, a little dash of salt, and they're ready to go. If you want to make something with the seeds themselves, there's all kinds of, any way you would use a pea, there's all sorts of things you can do. Hummus, that's a great, you know, instead of chickpeas, use edamame, a little soy sauce, a little cumin, you know, it's awesome.
It is awesome, but I must tell you that I was one of the people that was eating edamame with the husk or the pod on. Nobody told me I needed to open it up. And there's a restaurant, Oishi, on the north end of Champaign up on Prospect Avenue that serves edamame, salted and steamed, and it tastes great. But I just popped it in and ate it. Then again, I'll eat the peanuts with the shell on it too. Well, I guess it's all in your taste buds.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the closing market report on this Wednesday afternoon. Tara Oliver joins us from the Andersons Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Tara.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I am doing very, very well. Has anybody been able to shuck corn and at least deliver it yet to the elevator on a quick ship?
Yeah, absolutely. Here at the ethanol plant especially, we were trying to entice some early flow of corn here, so this week has certainly brought its fair share of wet corn into the facility. So we are taking new crop corn here at the ethanol plant. Our elevator in Delphi has not seen as much of the new crop corn flow, but some new crop beans have definitely started to make their way there as well.
You have to dry that wet corn down, I suppose, to get it through the ethanol plant or not?
That is true. We do have to dry it to dry in order to process it most efficiently.
You got any idea what dry bushels are like or what the yield is, I mean?
So far, from what I've heard, the yields have been right around 180 or a lot of the early numbers that people are tossing out there. It's varied from 160 to 200 in our area, but most of it has been 180.
And what are your quick ship bids today?
Cash price at Delphi on corn is $4.92, Climbers corn is $4.57, and Delphi beans are $13.68.
Mm-hmm. And what do you expect basis to do in the next week?
I still think we definitely start to see some of these early premiums continue to collapse and everybody works their way down to their fall bid. I mean, beans are following the trend of corn and the bids are eroding quickly.
Okay, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Hey, you too. Tara Oliver is with the Andersons. She's at their Climbers facility, the ethanol plant, located in Logansport, Indiana. And we talk to them each and every Wednesday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report. By the way, you can visit our website. You can hear Tara and all the rest of the folks again if you'd like. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming and a link to our Ag Outlooks. There are two of them next week, one of them in Belleville, Illinois. That's on Tuesday evening, and one of them in Mazan, Illinois. That's on Thursday evening. Dave Dickey will be up in Mazan. Jerry Goodell will be on that panel, along with Kurt Kimmel, I know, and it's at the American Legion. They're always open. I think both of them are at 7 o'clock. Listen, next week I'll give you all the details on each of those Ag Outlook panels. As we get ready to go into the harvest season, you should probably get your marketing plans in order, and what a better way than to go and get your questions answered at one of our Will Ag panels. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. That with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City.
It's National Hot Cross Bun Day. This sweet spiced bun first was named in 1733. The hot cross bun was a source of controversy. Protestant English monarchs saw the buns as a dangerous holdover of Catholic belief. The buns baked from the dough used to make communion wafers. Protestant England attempted to ban their sale, but they proved too popular. So Elizabeth I passed a law allowing their sale, but only on Easter and Christmas. On this day in agricultural history in 1721, Rudolf Jacob Camemarius died, a German botanist. He showed the existence of sexes in plants and identified the stamen and pistil as the male and female organs. In 1851, Sylvester Graham died. He advocated vegetarianism, temperance, and the use of coarse-ground whole wheat flour. But he was best known for the invention of the Graham cracker in 1829. In addition to whole wheat flour, Graham advocated hard mattresses, open windows, fresh fruits and vegetables, pure drinking water, and cheerfulness at meals. And in 1961, the World Wildlife Fund, a conservation organization, was founded. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is with us. Drew, let's talk first about when this hot weather will break across the Midwest and when it does, if any rainfall will come with a cool down.
Well, we do certainly expect to get away from the extremes. After all, it's September the 11th here. We can't keep up this pace for much longer. The atmosphere is cooling. We're seeing some risk of frost developing for maybe the northernmost parts of the Great Lakes region and southeastern parts of Canada again over the next week. But that'll stay north of the crop country. We will see cooler conditions evolve, though, and as the temperatures come down, we'll look for a chance for some rainfall. But I don't think we're going to see a tremendous volume of it, except in the western Corn Belt, which is one of the areas that needs it more than anywhere else. We will see an increase in shower and thunderstorm activity across parts of Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, even northern Illinois. As we get into the Saturday through Tuesday period, during that period of time, we're going to see, for a number of reasons, scattered showers and thunderstorms occurring across the area. It's still up for great debate how much rain will come out of this, but I'm fairly well convinced here that we're going to see a high enough coverage that we're going to stop this tailspin decline in our soybean yields and maybe offer a little stabilization there and maybe not do much to bring the crop back or even increase anything for the bend, but we may at least stop the decline. Rain totals at this point, I would guess, probably run about a half inch to an inch and a half in a few locations with good coverage. And there's still a lot of variation in the amounts from one area to another, unfortunately. And as we get closer to the event, maybe we'll get a little better idea. But like I said, I think we'll get rain in many areas and offer a little bit of a slowdown in the decline.
As you mentioned, temperatures will drop, and that's seasonable. We are concerned, as you talked about up front, cold enough temperatures that it might damage a crop that's still immature. Do you have any worries, really?
The last week in September, first week in October, I still think is a favored period. Climatologically, given the patterns that we've had in the past for seeing an early frost or freeze event in some areas of the lower eastern Midwest, maybe even in the upper Midwest, but it's getting fairly late for an early occurrence there. So I am a little concerned. Even though the models still today are not offering a tremendous amount of cool air up through the first half of next week, then the models become very, very divergent, with the European model suggesting that there might be a cool shot of air in the northern plains in Minnesota on the 19th and 20th that would be of interest. And so we're watching that. But so far, the American model hasn't really come around to that line of thinking. So for right now, I think we have to watch very closely. I do think there's still potential, though, for some kind of a cold scare to occur as we get closer to the end of the month.
Now take us, Drew, to other parts of the world, China, Ukraine in particular, as they close out their growing season.
China's weather is actually looking very normal right now, and they need normal. In fact, they could really use some drier than normal conditions in the northeast part of the country. They've been too wet in the northeast three provinces, where more than half of the soybean crop is often produced. The crop up there has really had a tough time this summer, along with some of the corn, in having enough sunshine and dry conditions to really promote the best yields. Right now, it looks like they are going to see some normal drying over the next few weeks, and that should help push them in the right direction. For Ukraine, seen some rain here the last few weeks, and it's been helpful in raising soil moisture for their winter wheat crop as well as rye. So I think they're going to be in a good position to have a good established crop this autumn.
Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated. That wraps up the closing market report. I'm Todd Gleason.